Neighborhood Record Store, Southbound Records.
But the beginning of that was supposed to say, from the crate.
From the crate.
And here's Troy.
Hello.
Hi, Troy. How are you?
Good.
Records in. New records in, yes.
Records out the
in and out of the cut and thrust of the records shop there.
Oh, yes.
Southbound Records. You bought some records in here, rather.
We'll bring some records in. Now, I think we're doing this in the right order. Are we starting with... we are? Okay, good.
Now, that colourful number. What's that over there you've got there?
Oh, you're going to like this one.
Hey, if it isn't the golden voice of Africa himself, Pat Thomas, Coming Home. Original Ghanaian high life and Afrobeat classics from 1967 to 1981. That's a good time period.
It is.
It's a good solid span, and it's a good solid record, isn't it? Look at that.
It's three records, isn't it?
Yeah. Three records?
A three record.
Where are we going there? It's come out through Strut. Yeah, look, okay, I see. I'll leave it to you now. Go, Troy.
Well, you'll be going, if you were going to WOMAD this year, I would tell you that one of the things, apart from Kamasi Washington,
I'm not going.
You have to see. Well, okay.
I'm not going, but I don't think so. I'd like to, but yeah.
Some people will listen.
It's a good package, this one.
Pat Thomas is playing this year. That Pat Thomas is playing this year.
The golden voice of Africa.
Yes. With his current group, who put out an album on Strut in 2015. They were great. Now, Pat, as you could tell from that time span, he's been doing stuff for a long time. And the really cool thing is, you may have heard of Ebo Taylor. Now, Ebo Taylor has basically been alongside Pat through a lot of his career. Ebo playing guitar in his current group.
So this hype is justified.
Yeah, it is. Hell yeah. Together, they're a total powerhouse. Now, by the late 70s, you know, I really hate the fact that I'm always saying this about a country on this continent, but... there was a military takeover in Ghana in the late 70s, 1979. And one of the things that it did, from Pat's perspective and a lot of musicians' perspective, is that overnight it utterly destroyed the Ghana music scene, utterly finished it. There was curfews put in, a lot of venues were shut down. And some of those musicians thought, right, well, we've got to keep on doing stuff. I know, let's move to Germany for a while and we'll do our stuff there. And Pat was one of those people. What were they called? They called themselves something funny. Burgers. High life burgers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But anyways, in Germany, they came across other musicians they might not have previously collaborated with from other countries on the African continent. And one of the groups that got together is the one that we're going to hear. Now, this is one of the greatest named bands that I can think of. They were called, this is 1981 now we're talking, they were called Super Sounds Number. Right, now Super Sounds Number, I'd love to show you the cover of that record. In fact, you can probably look it up, because it's a tremendous looking
before
cover.
Just before we play this one, I just want to run through some of the other names of his outfits. On the back here, the Oiga Tana Show Band with Pat Thomas and the Black Berets, Pat Thomas and the Big Seven, Pat Thomas Awurade,
yep,
and Pat Thomas and the Sweet Beans.
The Sweet Beans were kind of reggae.
Okay, and then we cut through a few Pat Thomas, and Ebo Taylor, Pat Thomas, and then this one.
Super Sounds Number.
God damn, that's a nice drum sound, whatever that drum there is. What year is this?
1981.
Beautiful. Good time for music. For it. Come on, Pat. The golden voice of Africa.
Struggling for more things, money man.
He's a confident young man, isn't he?
He is.
With a bit of swagger. Quite a long way back in the mix. For a vocalist, yeah. For a... But I mean, that's a song right there, isn't it?
It's
Who's Free by Supersound's Number.
It's not a huge high-tech production.
No, it's quite non-stereo.
Yeah. But Pat basically went, he loved singing. He loved, well, loves, he's still doing it. Oftentimes, when things got popular, Pat goes, well, if that's what you want to hear people singing, I'll sing like that. So Pat's like moved through things. Like, started from a real folky kind of high life. Did some, as I said, with the Sweet Beans, some reggae influenced stuff. Early 70s, of course, some Afrobeats, vaguely Afrobeat sounding things, some funk. And of course, by the time we get to this, Pat's doing a kind of really weird high life disco hybrid. But I really like this.
Right on, so we've got three records there.
Three records set on Strut. It originally came out a couple of years back, around the same time as Pat's contemporary album, so 2015, I think, came out.
I don't want to say gave it too much of a squeeze, but I felt like there's something else in there as well. A compact disc, perhaps, as well, in the package?
There is also a compact disc in here, and there is also a very nice booklet. And you'll be able to see the pictures, not just of Pat and his various groups, but the cover of Supersound's Number, which you're going to like.
Great.
Yeah. This is cool.
So that's in the store now?
That's in the store now, and Pat will be playing at WOMAD this year, which will be great. Now, I don't think you've ever heard of this artist or this record, so I'm going to...
And that movie's one of my favourite movies. My favourite quotes, I can't say on air, but...
No. Now, the movie you're talking about, starring Ron O'Neill. Look at Ron O'Neill.
Whoa. Yeah, hard out Ron O'Neill. It's one of the greatest movies ever.
Kind of is.
It's shonky, but it's... You've got to see it.
We're talking about Superfly.
Yeah, Superfly.
Now, the Curtis Mayfield soundtrack to Superfly, we all know it, and if we don't know it completely, we know certain songs from it.
Excitement's just thinking about it.
About 20 years ago, I think Rhino did an issue of it that had an extra disc with a whole bunch of different material on it. And if you've ever thought, wish that was done on vinyl, so I could have all that extra stuff on vinyl.
So is this the Rhino version or the original?
No, this is a brand new 2LP version with all of that extra stuff on it. Now, Superfly, when was it, 1972?
Yep.
Well, Curtis was approached to do the music for the movie, and rather than working in isolation, he wanted the script, so he went through the script. And I think there's only one of the tunes that he had previously written, which was Ghetto Child, or what's Ghetto Child called? Little Child Running Wild.
Yep.
Everything else is, he said, was related to either the narrative or his own observation of...
the story that was being told. Sort of.
His own observation of this happening in the streets of Chicago as well. So what you got was like kind of a, rather than just a drive the story forward thing, you got Curtis's opinion on this kind of business in the ghetto.
This is just awesome.
It really is. Yeah,
it really is one of the greatest. That's one of the greatest. I'm going to hand it back now. It's a 2LP set there.
2LP set.
What are we going to listen to?
Well, we're going to listen to what is, in fact, the theme of Superfly, which is Freddy's Dead. You didn't think that's the theme, did you?
No, I didn't know that.
There he is. See you, Fat Freddy.
See you, Freddy. This is such a song. Listen to that voice. Great strings. Jesus. That's what I'm saying. Let the man rap a plan, said he'd send him home. But his hope was a rope, and he should have known. Ooh. It's hard to understand. There was love in this man. I'm sure all would agree that his misery was his woman and things. Now, I just, yeah. You should talk, Troy. I'm just having a moment.
Curtis said about when he wrote this, he said that in the script or in the film, he really felt for the character of Fat Freddy because he was going, he was basically a decent guy who got sucked into something, you know, a bit out of his control. And as the song says, he ended up dead. But,
spoiler!
Oh. Yeah. Not many people die in the movie. Have you noticed that?
No, no, no. But there's a lot of tension, a lot of anxiety in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of sex as well.
And hot tub.
In the tub. getting bubbles and foam on his moustache. Yeah. I gotta go, baby! So that's Curtis Mayfield, Freddy's Dead, from the Superfly soundtrack.
Well, the Superfly soundtrack, is it called anything? Well, it's just called 2LP. And what you get on it, there's
heavy vinyl.
Yeah, two pieces of heavy vinyl. In fact, 140 gram I weighed it.
Yeah, beauty.
You get the demo for Little Child Running Wild. There's a couple of radio spots. There's something else from the score. There's a different mix of Pusher Man that has horns, which is actually amazing. Freddy's Dead instrumental. You get a full length of the Junkie's Chase, the original instrumental on the LP. You get the Natural Four doing Eddie, You Should Know Better. This is just amazing. And a whole bunch more stuff on there. But even if it was just the album Superfly, and I say album rather than soundtrack, one of the finest albums of the 1970s, I would say.
I concur, Troy, I concur. Thirdly?
Thirdly. Now, here's a group that finished up, imploded, went, you know, down the toilet in 1975. And nothing happened until Morrissey stepped in.
Who? Morrissey.
Morrissey. From Morrissey. The Morrissey.
Timidly stepped forth.
Yep. The British head of the New York Dolls fan club was Stephen Morrissey. Yes, he was.
Was he?
Yes.
Goodness gracious me.
Big time. He even wrote like a little book about the New York Dolls way before he was Morrissey out of the Smiths. Anyway, he curated the Meltdown Festival in 2004. And of course, the first thing, in fact, the only thing he really wanted to do with that, although he did get the Cockney Rejects to play, the big thing that he wanted to do was he called up David Johansen, hello, this is Morrissey, or however he said to him, and desperately wanted the Dolls to get back together. And it happened. Well, it mainly happened because Jerry Nolan and Johnny Thunders were, of course, dead by then.
Yep, seems like a few fell off the shelf, yep.
Sylvain and Dave Johansen had stayed doing music with varying degrees of success, big in Dave's case, small in Sylvain's case, and Arthur... For those of you who have seen the documentary New York Doll, Arthur had a terrible time through the 80s with alcoholism, cleaned himself up after he tried to kill himself when he saw David Johansen in the movie Scrooged on his TV. He was so incensed he jumped out a third story window. Yeah.
Jeez.
Cleaned himself up after that and became a devout Mormon.
Right, so was he keen on the Reformation? Or?
Well... It turns out that it's what he'd been waiting for all of his life. He could not believe that he was going to get to play with the Dolls again. They did the one show at the Royal Festival Hall in London, and Arthur died 3 weeks later.
Wow.
Went to the doctor, thought he had the flu, said he hadn't been feeling very good. They diagnosed him with leukemia. He was dead 2 hours later. 2 hours
wow.
after diagnosis. But he got to play with the Dolls again.
Wow.
Anyway, was
wow.
it a, apart from that, was it a good show? Yes. Was I there? No. How do I know it was good? Well, it came out as an album, and now for the first time it has come out as a double pink vinyl version.
Pink vinyl, look at that. Limited edition to 1,500 worldwide. Is that right?
Yep.
Yep, there we go.
Pink vinyl, of course, because it matches the New York Dolls.
Here the boys in the band, fully loaded, ready to party and play, performing the songs that changed rock and roll forever. The amazing supernatural return of the New York Dolls live from London's Royal Festival Hall 2004. We ready?
Yeah.
Riffs! What a riff! Nice. excuse me. We can't take this break. Offend one another's flesh. Only more of that someday. Tell you what, that's lost none of its
sloppiness.
Sloppiness and yeah, but it's, you know.
Power.
That, you know, if that's how you, if you're going to do sloppy, do it that way. It's like a, band accidentally coming, accidentally writing a great song at band practice.
I mean, I love the Dolls.
I love the piano and the Dolls.
Yeah.
It's a great song. It's a really great song.
And you know what? It's not their only great song.
No.
You look at what's on here and you think, these guys made two albums. That's it. They made two albums. There's been hundreds of bootlegs. They made two records. And of that, the tunes they came out with were fantastic. Looking for a Kiss, Subway Train, Bad Girl, Vietnamese Baby, Frankenstein.
Frankenstein's a great track. And it's on, they're right there on pink vinyl.
Yep. Trash. Jet Boy.
Jet Boy's a great track.
This one person, a human being, they really do have a great bunch of tunes. The only thing on here that was not done by the Dolls first time round was You Can't Put Your Arms Around a Memory, which Johnny Thunders did solo. Of course, being the Dolls, they had a bit of a laugh because You Can't Put Your Arms Around a Memory, Johnny had plagiarised himself, and it was the Dolls' song Lonely Planet Boy, so they do it here as a medley. But
in the interest of full disclosure.
So the only New York Dolls reunion show with Arthur Killer Kane on bass was this one. They went on for a few years after, even playing here. You remember they played at the St. James, which was amazing.
Right, yeah. When was that? That was, I didn't go to that.
2007.
I'd like to have gone to that, definitely.
Yeah.
I hate having gig regret. Hate it.
You might not have been around.
Oh, I've never been around. Sorry about that. Might just be around somewhere else.
But yeah, like you said, this sort of proves that those... I don't know whether it says supernatural return of the Dolls on here. I don't know whether there's some supernatural thing which has made it that you have here three-fifths of the Dolls lineup. But maybe it's the songs themselves. Whatever it is, it like loses nothing.
No,
it's just explosive. It's really great.
Yeah. All right, so that's available now as well. Is that on CD as well, or did you get that on CD? It's just on pink vinyl.
It was on CD back in the day. Morrissey had an imprint called Attack, and it came out on CD then. But pink vinyl, double pink vinyl for that. Double Superfly, double vinyl, triple vinyl, Pat Thomas Coming Home. There's a good little bunch of things, and there's a huge amount of other new releases this week that we haven't touched on. So,
thank you, Troy.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T. White's Bikes.
I do have a query.